So today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Lamed Zayin in Masechet Beitzah, and we are holding at the fourth line. I believe Eloheinu Mishum Mitzvah. So what we discovered yesterday is that we had various levels of Shavuos in the Mishnah, and that there was something that was pure Shavuos, something that was a Shavuos that was called Rishus, which had elements of mitzvah in it. And then there were things that were pure mitzvah also, and nonetheless were also Mishum Shavuos. The Gemara was concerned as to why we call the things that are mamish appear to be literal mitzvahs, and over here they're only called Rishus. And today, that we handled yesterday, today we talk about even the things, Eloheinu Mishum Mitzvah, and nonetheless, you're not allowed to do them on Yantav. Lo magdishim, lo marichim, lo macharimim. Why is that? Gzera mishumekach umemka. Since what you're doing is transferring what you own to Hegdish, and that is a business activity, so because of that, it's usur. Now, in usur, there's two possibilities, says Rashi. Could be usur because of the fact that business, per se, is usur. Because of mimtzochevtzecha, you're not allowed to be doing the things that you normally do to find your way in the world, because that's also on Shabbos as a similar thing to being oisek in the things that humans do. So it's similar to malacha in that sense. Rashi offers another option, which is very strange, because his first option, he says, is from what's written in the Torah, mimtzochevtzecha. Nonetheless, he offers another option. His other option is that it's a gzeira mishum ksiva. Now, that's very strange. Gzeira mishum ksiva when you have a deraisa. But the point is that if the entire basis of doing business is mimtzochev tzecha, so then, by definition, giving to Hegdish is not chevtzecha at all. That's the whole point. You're giving it away. So to say I'm going to make a gzeira about something that is the opposite of what the makor of the gzeira is, maybe we don't do that, even though it bears surface similarities. So because of that, Rashi adds that there's another basis to the idea of not doing business, and that is the gzeira of ksiva. So therefore, we would go through, even though it's a mitzvah mamish, v'lo magbiin trumot u'masrot, isn't it obvious that we're not magbia? Pshita, Tani Rav Yosef, what we're talking about over here is a chiddush. So we want to go ahead, we'll hand it over to the Kohen today, and therefore somebody who sees what I'm doing only recognizes that I'm engaged in preparing food in such a way that a Kohen will be able to have it, which is tzarech ochel nefesh. And therefore for such a thing I should be allowed to do. Kamash malam, that even so, you're not allowed to do it. But this is only where you could have done it yesterday. But suppose you made your bread today, and you had to take off challah today, and challah is a din of truma. We already saw before that. Then, of course, it's not aser. And in that case, the period that tefilah yaid not to go in isa lafrush min challah mafrish, and you can be mafrish yavinan lekohi. Now, the Rambam brings, the question is, why indeed would it be osur? Why isn't it oichel nefesh? And oichel nefesh is mutter even if you could have done it yesterday. Remember, it's only makshiri oichel nefesh, as Tosfos says, that is osur if you could have done it. Aliba de Rav Yehuda. So interestingly enough, the Rambam, when he talks about the isur of taking off trumas and maaseres, he says two separate issues. One issue is we already saw, because it's similar to tikkun maneh, and therefore it's also b'shem tikkuni. But the other, he says, is because you're not allowed to be magdish in an yontav. So because of that, we're including truma on a level of hakdasha. Fine. Now, the Gemara wants to understand the language of the Mishnah, because the language is very disturbing. The Mishnah says there's one category called shvus, one category called mitzvah, called rishus, and one category called mitzvah. Now that's ridiculous. Is that one category called shvus? We say that everything is aser mishum shvus. even if it is a mitzvah, and even if it is a rishos. It's all usr. So what do you mean exactly, asks the Gemara? V'ani mishum rishut ika mishum shvut leka. V'ani mishum mitzvah ika mishum shvut leka. Why are you separating the categories by saying category A is shvut, category B is rishos, so category C is mitzvah, when that's not what you mean? All of them are usr. But it's mashma, the way you phrased it, is that category A is usr because it's a shvus, but category B, no, that's okay, because that's a rishus. Category C for sure, because that's considered to be a mitzvah, but that's not true. You usred all of them. So why are you telling me in this strange language? You're telling me that there's no shvus on the rishus, and these last category, that's only a mitzvah, but there's no shvus? They're all shvus. Reb Yitzchak, no. The Mishnah is saying not only A, but also B, and not only B, but also C. In other words, pure shvus, where there's not even the slightest hint of a nice thing that you're doing. Pure shvus for sure is us. So me by shvus great data the usr. But I'm telling you, even category B, where there's a shvus of a shvus, where there's elements of a mitzvah that are involved, even that's usr. And not only things that are elements of a mitzvah are usr, lomi by shvus the rishus is usr, but even mamish a mitzvah, to give things to hegdesh, to be marich, even that's usr. Now lafilo shvus the mitzvah, nami usr. And now we have the closing of the Mishnah, kol eila be yom tov amru, they said it on yom tov, and what we really want to focus on is on the very closing words, Ein bein yom tov l'shabbos ela ochel nefesh bilvad. That's what we want to focus on. Now, how in the world could someone who's learning Beitza accept those closing words and not say, what are you, nuts? You just said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to be meshilin on yom tov, but you're not allowed to be meshil on Shabbos. And then three lines later, in the next mitzvah, you say, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov unless it's Ochel Nefesh. Meshilin is not about Ochel Nefesh. Meshilin is about saving your money and allowing you to do this Tircha on Yom Tov. Now you contradict yourself within a couple of minutes. V'raminu. First it says, Meshilin derech haruba b'yom tov avolo b'shabbat. Does it say that? Does that mean that Shabbos and Yom Tov are different and that we make these zeros on Shabbos that we don't apply to Yom Tov? Yes. And then you turn right around and you say that ain ben yom tov l'shabbos. Answers the Gemara, you're very right. And in fact, these two Mishnayot represent two completely different shitot. This Mishnah, which is claiming that every single iser derabbanan and iser shvus that applies to Shabbos would apply to Yom Tov. And that would mean that in the same way that you're not allowed to move your perot on Shabbat down your roof, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. That's true, but that's going according to Rebbe Eliezer. And Rebbe Eliezer is machmir on Yom Tov, and he does not see a basis to be makel on Yom Tov just because of your hefsid mamon. Masha Inke, the first Mishnah in the Perek, which described the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in terms of Meshilin, that's going alibi to Rebbe Yoshua, who actually does see a basis in hefsid. Is a reason to be makel by Yom Tov. Where do we see such a Yom Tov, such an afterminer? Well, we already had this, the Tanya. Remember the case where two animals, a father and son, so otoved beno. So over here the idea is, mommy falls into this hole together with child, can you bring them up or not? Because you're worried they're gonna die down there, and if you leave them down in the well, so Rebbe Eliezer says, look, you could bring up one because you're allowed to shechet one, but you're not allowed to shechet both. There's no way for you to bring up the other one. So choose the one that you want to eat on Yom Tov, bring it up, and the other one, try to get a doctor down there, you know, and set up a saline solution, whatever you got to do for the other one. You could try to save the other one, but, you know, you can't bring him up. So you could bring down food, whatever you want. The one that you bring up, you have to go ahead and check. The second one, you try to save it down there in the well. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can bring up the first one, pretend that that's the one that you're going to chef. Look at it and be ma'arim and say, this one is too thin. Let me try the other one. Then you bring up the other one. Then you chef whichever one you want. So apparently Rabbi Yoshua is allowing you, because of the loss of money, to go ahead and be mekel on yantiv. So it must be that is the shita of the first mishnah of Meshilim, which says that in order to save the fruit that's on your roof, you're allowed to bring it down on yantiv and be toreya. Says the Gemara, I don't understand the relationship between the two shitas. Normally, Abaya Mimai, what is the connection over here? The reason that Rebbe Eliezer said that you're not allowed to bring up the other one may very well be because you do have an option. Your option is that you can get the food down there, you get a doctor down there, and you don't necessarily have to lose money. But the case of the fruit on the roof where it's about to thunderstorm, there's nothing you can do. If you don't bring it down, then it's overs. So Hacha de lo efshe b'parnasalo, maybe Enoch Inami, he would agree that you could be Meshilin. And on the other hand, we could say that maybe Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you cannot do Meshilin. Because Inami atkan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua atam el da'af shola arume. Maybe the only reason that Rabbi Yeshua said that it's okay to bring up both is because, look, an onlooker would have no way of knowing that you're playing games, right? It's perfectly normal to bring an animal up and then to look at it more closely and to realize, oh my gosh, this animal is too thin for me. I'd rather look at the other one. There's nothing in your actions that provides a basis for people to think we're going to be mako for yantav, which might allow them to be mako for yantav. Fine. So because of that, it's efshir la'arume. How are you going to explain away the fact that you moved a ton of stuff down through the hole, or whatever the shear was? I say a ton, but obviously we were doubtful about the shear in the Gemara. But certainly you're moving a lot on Yontev, and there's no way to pretend that it's not because you're worried about the rainfall, so people will learn from there to be Mekel on Yontev. So why is this a raya that he would say that's mutter? Maybe even Rabbi Yeshua would agree it's awesome. So this is no answer. Okay, therefore it says, Rav Papa, I have an answer. A different answer. You're right. The two Mishnayot are definitely two fundamentally different Shittot. And it's not the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. It's the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So all Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai says, anything that's awesome on Shabbos is awesome on Yom Tov. So therefore, he would never have agreed to Meshilin. Whereas, Beit Hillel, the mission of Meshilin is going out, leave it to Beit Hillel. Where is this machlok? Because we had it before. It's not. Beit Shammai omrim, ein motziim lo et hakatan, velo et halulav, velo et sefer Torah, v'rushut harabim. Remember that Beit Shammai does not hold of mitoch shu'ut v'letzorech, chokho nefesh, hutra, even sholo letzorech, right? So therefore, Beit Shammai says, hey, are you planning on eating that baby today? No? So you can't carry the baby out. Sorry. You're going to only carry in order to eat. Fine. So according to it, are you planning on eating that Sefer Torah? I mean, it's, yes. I mean, we do learn Laman Tia Torah Sashem Beficham. But I mean, you actually plan on eating it? If you don't, then you're not allowed to move it. So fine. So Enoch Inami, according to that, we're not going to be very machmir not to allow you to be Meshilin either. Asha'inkein Beit Hillel is matir, because he holds a mitoch. So if mitoch is usher, is mutter, so then why shouldn't I be able to move it off of the roof also? Says he, wait a minute. I mean, that's talking about a hotzah. So I understand that Beit Shammai is machmir on real hotzah, which is the araita. But tiltol? I mean, what are you doing over here? You're moving something that's an iser derabbanan. To go ahead and to move it and to be matriach. I mean, that's, says the Gemara, no. Now, wait a minute. You're forgetting the whole basis of muktzah. How did muktzah begin? How did we make that shvus? We made it because people were carrying on Shabbos, remember? And they were being motzi. They brought, it was the whole story in Ezra and Nehemiah. They were carrying in the things to sell in Yerushalayim. So we were gozer. So then that means the whole basis of muktzah is a concern for hotzah. And if we're concerned for Otsa, then we're going to be concerned for Tilto. Therefore, it makes perfectly good sense to say that Aliba de Beit Shammai, If we do not have a mitochem, we're going to be machmer on hotzah, we will be machmer on tiltul also, and therefore our Mishnah that says whatever we asked on Shabbat, we asked also on Yontev, would make perfectly good sense according to Beit Shammai. But the first Mishnah, which says that you're allowed to be mashilin, that makes perfectly good sense. Aliba, the Beit Hillel. Now we're ready for a very special word from our Kapitan. Right now on Rosh Chodesh.
Especially Rebbe drinks.
Now, of course, thank you, Sir Richie. Now, of course, after discussing the issues of Hotzah and the issues of Tiltul, which come from Hotzah, we have another element that relates to Hotzah, and that is carrying things out of the Tchum. So now, on Shabbos, no, we can't carry anyway, so we're not going to get into the question of whether I'm allowed to carry the baby out of the Tchum. But on Yontev, you can carry, and therefore we need to focus on how far can you carry. And therefore, we introduce this Mishnah here in Beitza, even though it relates to Tchumim, whose fundamental placement was, of course, in Shabbat. So here the Chiddush is, that what a person owns, whether it's live things, such as livestock, or a backpack, and somebody wants to borrow his backpack, the interesting halacha is that whatever belongs to a person gets the same Tchum as the owner. I understand that Alon is watching Sesame Street there in the Beit HaKnesset itself of his own design, having put in a TV screen apparently right on top of the Aron Kodesh. However, we would appreciate his looking into the Gemara. And that includes, as the Mishnah says, his friends and his Kalim, you know, everybody. Okay. So now, if you own these things, they are stuck with the same tchum as the owner. So if you, let's say the owner made an Erev, right? And he can only carry things out to the west of the city because he made an Erev all the way out to the west. You want to borrow something and you want to carry it to the east, up until the end of the tchum. No way, Jose, because this backpack is only allowed to be moved to the east because the owner of the backpack made the Erev in the other direction. Now, suppose you give over your animal to your kid, or you give it over to a shepherd. It doesn't matter. Your child is not allowed to use your backpack or to move your animal outside of where you were allowed to move it. Neither is the shepherd. So if you had made an Erev in the other direction, then the shepherd's not going to be able to go in the direction he wanted to go. Now, suppose you have different people who inherited one person, and they have not split. So let's say you've got five brothers that inherited a father, and now they want to use the backpack of the father. What's the din of that backpack? Hare elu kirag lav, only if they're kelim amiyuchadim lecha ben ha'achim shebabayit. So suppose the brothers have agreed, older brother uses backpack. Fine, so then the backpack goes according to his tchum. But suppose they haven't, and there is no breaking up. Everybody's got a right to take the backpack where they want. But then the problem is that they can only use the backpack in the overlapping tchum. So if one of these brothers had made an Erev in one direction and had a different tchum than the other, if there's an overlap, they can all move it in the overlapping area, but if there's no overlap, they can't move it at all outside of the city because the tchum is stuck as if there is no right to move at all. So therefore, she'en miyuchadim, if it's not in one of the brothers' rishos, it's only in the joint area. And if they have different tchumim, find the joint area. Suppose somebody borrows a backpack. Well, it depends. If he borrowed that from Erev Yontev, so then that backpack now, for all intents and purposes, is his own during Yontev, and the backpack was konesh vita wherever the borrower was. But if he borrows the backpack on Yontev, then it's stuck because Bein Hashmashot, which is the time that we define the Mokum Shvita of everything, Bein Hashmashot, it went according to the guy who's lending it to you. Same thing would be true. Now, here's a really difficult problem. A woman is baking a cake, and she runs out of whatever, salt, water, vanilla. So she knocks on the neighbor's door, and she borrows some vanilla from the neighbor. Now the problem is, on Yontif, she can't move the cake outside of the joint room because the vanilla wasn't allowed to be moved to the north because the neighbor had made an eruv to the south. And the dough that she had with her own flour, she had made an eruv to the north, and therefore it can't be moved also in any direction, because if it went all the way, you're stuck, right? So that would be the same thing. The cake would now be limited to the joint area. Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, wait a minute. I understand the vanilla. I mean, vanilla. You take a look at the prices of real vanilla on Amazon today, and you will see why definitely that is very noticeable indeed. But water? I mean, the water sort of just disappears when you put it into the dough, and there's no presence to the water. The Gemara is going to ask, isn't that true of the salt also? And we'll answer it. But the water? I mean, the water shouldn't be important. So, I'm poter b'mayim, b'mayim, ein ben mamash, is not considered to be present in a way that would actually be recognizable. And because of that, it doesn't limit the tchum. The problem is that if the Mishnah is saying that if I give my animal to a ro'eh, that the ro'eh has to keep to my tchum, that's a big problem, because certainly that's not true according to Rav Daisa. And that would mean that matnitin, this Mishnah is not going only but Rabbi Dosa, the Tanya. Rabbi Dosa Omer, in the Braita, Rabbi Dosa says, some say it was Gavi's neighbor, Avishol, and Avishol Omer, Amri le Avishol Omer, Alokeach be'imam michaveron, me'erev yomtov, if somebody buys an animal before yomtov from his friend, even though it wasn't given over into his hands until Yontif proper, it still has the din of the lokeach. Because the idea was that the ownership was given over, because of that the ownership is kind of the shvisa of the real owner, even though it wasn't handed into him. Okay, that's fine. Here's where we run into trouble with Rav Dosa, because Rav Dosa says, the hamoser be'imam lero'eh, if somebody gives over an animal to a shepherd, now look at this, even though he only gave it to the shepherd to take care of on Yontif itself, it still goes according to the ro'ez tchum. Beferish, our Mishnah says it's exactly what is not true. If you give it over to a ro'ez on Yontif, then the ro'ez cannot take it out of Yerusha. So are we forced to say that this Stam Mishnah is going shalok Rabbi Dosa? No. We never found a machlokas about this. So, of course, it makes sense. It would be going on Libet Rabbi Daisa, and there's still not a problem. Why? Because it depends. In the Braita, Rabbi Daisa was talking about a case where the town has one shepherd. That shepherd takes care of all of the 20 different farms that are in the town, and everybody gives over their behemoths to that particular shepherd, in which case it's assumed that since it's going to be in the reshus of the shepherd, which is the same thing as having sold the animal before and not yet being moser it. It's the same thing is true over here. I know where the animal is going to be on Yontif. I just haven't had a chance to bring it over to the house of the shepherd, right? So in that case, it's a given that it was kind of shvisa with the makom of the shepherd. Mashen Kein, our mission is talking about where there are more than one shepherd. In which case, until I give it to the shepherd, it does not have any makom shvisa other than the makom shvisa of me, because I'm the owner. And actually, if you read the Mishnah carefully, you will see that the Mishnah went out of its way to let you know that. Okay, you weren't paying close attention. Tell me something. Why do we really need to know that if you give it over to your son or you give it over to a shepherd? I mean, well, the point is that it's your tchum. Isn't that the point? What's the difference between your son or your shepherd? I'll tell you. The Mishnah wanted to say the two cases so that it would be clear that you were thinking of giving it to your son or thinking of giving it to the shepherd. That's the point. So there was an option. So therefore, since it says, livno oloro'eh, meaning I did not know before Yontif what it was I was going to do with it. So basically, He had two possibilities. Okay, so then the Mishnah is telling you, in a case where there's two possibilities, then it takes on the Mokum Shvisa of the owner. Only where it's 100% going to be deposited with so-and-so would it be similar to the case of Mechira, where it takes on the Mokum Shvisa of the person that you gave it to on Yontev. Shma Mina. So clearly that's the difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Everything is just fine. Alibid Reb Deisa. Omar Rabba Bar Bachana Om Reb Yochanan, yes indeed, the halacha is like Reb Deisa. How could Reb Yochanan said the halacha is like Reb Deisa? He didn't say it in this context, okay, as we'll see in a moment. Reb Yochanan, when he read this Braita, he told his Talmidim, the halacha is like Reb Deisa in this Braita. That's why we asked, before we realized that we had the teretz in the Mishnah, so we asked, how could Reb Yochanan say the halacha is Reb Deisa? If Rabbi Yochanan always learns that the halacha is Kistam Mishnah, and the Stam Mishnah here seems to be antithetical to Rabbi Deisa. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achi, didn't Rabbi Yochanan paskin halacha Kistam Mishnah? And the Mishnah that we just had says, Abeima Bekelim Yor Keragli HaBaalim, that if you give it over to a shepherd, the Behema still has the limitations of the Tchum of the owner. So Rabbi Yochanan should have agreed that that's the halacha, because Kistam Mishnah. Okay, so what are you asking me? Didn't we just answer that question? V'lavukim, no, we just answered it. Kan baro echad, kan b'shnei roim. I mean, use your brains and apply the answer that we said over here to Rabbi Yochanan. So obviously Rabbi Yochanan took that for granted. When he heard Rabbi Dosa, he realized there's no problem with those in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah mentions either giving it to your son or to a beautiful. Now, Tana Rabban. Suppose you needed to go to an affair and you borrowed a suit. Now, two people needed to borrow the suit. One person had an affair in the morning. It's called going to shul, but it's one of these, you know, fancy shuls where if you show up at anything less than a top hat and, you know, one of these New York Manhattan places and so on. Okay, so he borrows the suit and the top hat for the morning. Now another guy says, okay, but do me a favor, when you come back from shul, is it okay, yes, the owner, is it okay if I use the suit and the top hat to go to the party that I want to attend later on in the day? The guy says, sure, when he comes back from shul, he can give you the suit and the top hat. Now we got a problem, because now the suit and the top hat were actually defined by the two people that may have had different mokum shvisa. So the problem is, if one of them borrows it to go to the morning to davening, or to the Beis HaMedrash, and the other one borrows it to go in the evening to a party, and one of them had made an Erev for going to the north, and that's where the Beis HaMedrash was, and the other one had made a Erev to going to the south, which was where the party was, we got a big problem. Because the one who made the Erev Alav L'Tzafon can only go as far north as the guy who may be Erev to the Daron can go. So remember, for every Amah that you extend your Tchum in one direction, you lose that Tchum in the other direction. If you want to make an Erev to go an additional 2,000 Amahs to the north, then you lose all your Tchum in the south, because you used up those 2,000 Amahs. In other words, what the Erev does is it moves the Tchum. So imagine the city is standing there in one place, and now you've got a screen, and you're moving the Erev, which is a total of 4,000, to the north and to the south, but you're moving that onto the other side of the city. Sorry. And therefore, you now have lost, if you moved it all the way to the north, you lost the entire south. If you move it all the way to the south, now you don't have any map that allows you to go out on the north, right? So therefore, to whatever extent you move that on your screen, that's what you moved. One Amah to the north, you lost one Amah to the south. So now, these two people are sort of going to make life impossible for the other one. Because Mr. Party makes Mr. Beis HaMedrash miss the Beis HaMedrash. And Mr. Beis HaMedrash makes Mr. Party miss the party, depending on whether there's enough overlap. So
that's why the object is the chaluk.
Ah, very good. So Zesh Ireva Lav L'Darom can only go L'Darom as far as the guy that made the Erev L'Tzafon. Now, if they're in a horrible situation where each one of them moved the screen the full extent, so now you have no tchum, and now you can forget about going anywhere. Just sit at home and have a nice day. So im mitzu et ha-tchum, so if they now had used up the entire tchum and there's zero common area, do not move that place, that suit, out of the city or wherever your tchum is at all. Itmar. Now let's imagine a case. You can buy an animal as a shutaf. You can buy a barrel of wine as a shutaf. So you went ahead and you bought both. You then come along on Yantar and you give each person his piece. I give you half of the barrel of wine. I give you half of the animal. So Rav says, look, the wine, that is okay to move wherever it is that each one of the partners had a Mokam Shvisa. So if one was going to the north because of his Erev, he can go with the wine to the north. One was going to the south, he can go with the wine to the south, despite the fact that they only had split the wine on Yantav itself. But the animal, that's a big problem. Since it was owned by Shutafut, it's limited by both partners. So now if you were planning on attending a barbecue to the north and the other guy had made his barbecue in the south and both of you had made an Erev, neither of you are going to be able to get to your party. Whereas Shmuel says, no, you can't split the wine is a problem also. And if you give the guy his wine and basically you don't have the rights to move in both directions, so how can you move the wine at all? I don't understand. What's the difference? Now, obviously, the problem over here is a problem of Brera, right? In other words, when it comes to the wine, if you're going to tell me that when we split the wine that was in my Rishus was always meant to come into my Rishus. That's called Brera. And therefore, when I actually get the wine, I say, this was the wine that was destined to be mine, and therefore it got my Mokam Shvisa. And the other guy says, this was the wine that was destined to be mine, and therefore it gets my Mokam Shvisa. That's called Brera. So if you hold a Brera, then there's no problem. But suppose you don't hold a Brera, then you have a big problem. Because remember, as Rashi always explains the meaning of Brera, it is a question of Newtonian physics versus modern physics. So if you don't hold of Brera, then you're in big trouble because initially, because there were no other factors involved, it was actually the other guy's wine that was destined to come into your cup. However, because of some minor shaking, all of that changed and what was destined at that point has now changed and now it's gone into the other guy's rishus. So that means you have the other guy's wine and he has your wine and everything is a disaster. Masha Enkein, as Rashi explains, if you hold of Brera, then what you say is nothing is destined ever because everything is essentially random. And because of that, what wine you got is certainly what ends up being yours. And therefore, there were never the other guy's wine. How could the other guy's wine have been meant for you at all? Nothing was meant for anybody until it gets there. Therefore, you are claiming your Mokam Shvisa. So apparently Shmuel doesn't hold of Brera, and Rav, well, Rav's a problem. I mean, if he holds of Brera, then he would have been mati not only the wine, he would have been mati the animal too, no? Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. So what does Rav hold? I mean, if he holds of Brera, he cuts off a yesh Brera, so then why not be mati the animal? And if he holds ain Brera, why is he mati the wine in the barrel? Says the Gemara, he does hold of Brera, but animals are different. Why are they different? Because a live animal at the onset of Yontav is definitely going to have something of yours in the other guy's chelik and something of the other guy's chelik in your chelik. Because there ain't no way to avoid that, you see. Even if you say, Brera, I'm going to be getting section A and I'll get the brisket, he'll get the London broil. Yeah, the problem is that brisket and London broil, being as it's not meat at the time, it's a living animal, is getting blood pumped into it and all types of hormones, and God only knows what is coming through that bloodstream, that the brisket is getting into the London broil and the London broil is getting into the brisket, and there's no way to avoid that. So for sure, you are going to be having some of the other guy's chelek, okay? So therefore, even though the Mokam Shvisa, yes, all very nice, you define the Mokam Shvisa, but then you went and messed it up because the animal kept being alive and you didn't check it before Yanta. So therefore an animal is different. The different chumim, A's chum and B's chum, are now mixed because they've been taking from each other nutrients and stuff, and therefore it osers it. You know, I'm finding this very confusing. I mean, you're telling me that I'm allowed to eat the other guy's piece, right? You're telling me I can't move it out of the truck, but I can eat it. Now, I mean, if I went out of my way to define this part is meant to be yours, that's why I sold it. We sold each other. We took it before Yontev. We wanted to make sure you get your stuff, I get my stuff. So there, this is how Rashi understands. Not everybody agrees to this at all, and there's many other approaches to the Gemara, but Rashi understands we've got a problem of Muktzah because we went out of our way to split. We went out of our way to split, it means I did not want to have your meat, and you did not want to have my meat. Okay, so then what that should mean is that I put out of my mind the meat that was going to you, and I don't want to use it. So if I don't want to use it, then it should be Muktzah for me. It's not like a normal case where you have meat and you invite me in for a meal and you're allowed to give me meat and I never in any way, you know, close my mind to that meat. Over here, I bedafka sold off that meat because I don't want it to be mine. It's fine, whatever. But this is Rashi's approach. So why is it that when it comes to the Isser of Tchumim, you're being very makbid, but when it comes to Muktzah, you don't worry about it? I mean, I shouldn't be allowed to eat it according to this. Forget about the Tchum. So the Isser Muktzah lo chashish. Telling you, for Muktzah we're not chashish. But for the Isser of Tchumim, then we are going to be chashish. I mean, why is that? There should be no difference between them. So then it should be Muktzah also. Shosik Rav. So Rav did not have a response. That's a machlokas. Why Rav didn't have a response? He didn't have a response because it was such a good question. He didn't have a response because it's such a dumb question. It's not considered to be chashish. The Gabe Muktzah, in terms of if you hold a breretz, then the meat is not a big deal. Okay, fine. Anyway, it turns out that we're being chalek, the way we understand it. Rav holds a breira, Shmuel doesn't hold a breira. So tell me now the bottom line. What's the halacha about the question of whether you're allowed to move the wine to the tchum that's your own or not? So Rav Hoshaya says, Yesh Breira, and each one of them can take the wine to wherever he's allowed to go. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein Breira. Oh, does Rabbi Hoshaya really hold that Yesh Breira? Didn't we learn in the Beferish in the Mishnah of Ayalos? Now this is one of our favorite Mishnayos that we learned this year, and we've brought it up again and again because it is so fundamental in illustrating the concept of Breira that it keeps coming up every time we've had this sugya. Aren't you happy that you learned Ayalos? So, what is this issue? This is the Mishnah about Sof Tuma Latzeit. So the halacha of Sof Tuma Latzeit is that if there is a mace in a house, somebody died in a house, so then if there is a clear-cut entryway and that door is open and the other doors are closed, whatever door is open, that is the area where we have this halacha of Sof Tuma Latzeit. That halacha defines that if there are kelim underneath the threshold where the body is going to be moved through, or if it's a window that's 4x4 that is open, everything else being shut, then we assume that's where the body will be moved. Anything under that area is considered to be tameh because of Sof Tuma Latzeit. But suppose the entire area is closed and there's no difference between one and the other, then any window of 4x4 or any door, everything being shut, is all tummy. Now, suppose one of the doors gets opened after the death and the din over there is, that door is the one that's tummy and all of the other doors are tahor. Now, suppose the Chevra Kadisha speaks to the family and they decide they're moving the body out from the back door. So suppose they decided where to go, either through the back door or through a window that has 4x4, which is the necessary size to take out the body. Then once you made that decision, none of the other doors are going to be tameh. Beit Shammai says, well, now wait a minute. That's only if you had chosen what door you're going to remove the body before the guy even died. Boy, I'm sure he was very happy hearing that conversation. So tell me, anyway. But so if you made that decision before the death, okay. But you can't make that decision ex post facto and then tell me that this area is not going to be tameh. I mean, it's not going to change. You need to actually open the door to make that change, not talk about the door. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, even if you made the determination after the death, then it actually is metaher, any door except the one that was chosen. Now, the question is, what do you mean? Do you mean from this point forward? Or do you mean that anything that was under the other doors at the time of the death is now retroactively defined as never having become tameh because now we have Brera, and now we know that this body was always destined to be moved through this particular window. So there's a machlokes, and here's the problem. Of all the worst people to tell us that he doesn't hold a Brera, it's Reb Hoshaya. And you just claim that Reb Hoshaya Paskin that yesh Brera. Because Itmar Allah, when Reb Hoshaya explained the Mishnah, he said the entire discussion over here where Beit Hillel was saying that even if you had the determination afterwards, that's only from this point forward, that if that new Kalim get there, fine. But certainly you can't retroactively define a different door and be Matir the Kalim, which means he does not hold a Brera. Only from this point forward is he allowing it. Mikan alaba in, but lemafrei alo. So how can you tell me that Reb Hoshaya holds a Brera if the whole point of this beautiful discussion of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, but Dafkitz Reb Hoshaya who says, don't think that Beit Hillel meant that you could actually be Matir it retroactively. It's only ex post facto. Whoa, that's really a problem. You know what? Apparently we're going to have to switch Rav Yochanan with Rav Hoshaya. And we'll say it was Rav Hoshaya, when we said the psak of Rav Hoshaya and Rav Yochanan, must be Rav Hoshaya said Ein Brera. That way he remains consistent with his explanation of the mission in Oyalais. And it was Rav Yochanan who said Yesh Brera. Whew. Bad news. We got the same problem with Rav Yochanan that we have with Rav Hoshaya. Rav Yochanan does not hold Yesh Brera. Mi'ikle the Rav Yochanan Brera. Didn't Rav Asi quote Rav Yochanan as saying that if two brothers split an estate, five brothers split an estate, then when Yovel comes along, they have to re-split the estate. Why? Because what we consider splitting an estate to be is an act of buying and selling, bartering. You know what? I'm going to give you my portion that is in the area that you wanted. You give me your portion in the area that I want. So then you're buying and selling, and buying and selling has to be redone every 50 years when Yovel comes around, right? Now, if you hold a Brera, then it would mean that each one of the heirs says, since this is the part that ended up coming into my chelek, it obviously was destined to be mine. And therefore, why would I give it back to you during Yovel? I didn't buy anything from you. I simply walked straight into my destiny. So that indeed is a machlokes. And unfortunately, it's Rabbi Yochanan who says that the Achim Shechilko have a din of lekuchot, and therefore they have to redo the whole thing every Yovel. Mavzirin zel zebi Yovel. Now, I know what you're going to try to tell me. You're going to try to tell me that, you know what? The only reason Rabbi Yochanan says over there is because Yovel is a D'oraisa. So Rabbi Yochanan holds, when it comes to a D'oraisa, I'm not going to be semech on the din of Brera, and I'm going to have to be machmir to see it as lukuchot and be machzir. But when it comes to Rabbanan, oh, the Rabbanan for sure, there I would agree. Mukta, tumim, there I would agree that there is a Brera. Not so, because mid Rabbanan, you're telling me Reb Yochanan holds a Brera? What about our famous other case of Brera that we had in Erevin and we've spoken about many times, actually? And that is the question of a guy who can't make up his mind what shir he wants to go to on Shabbos. Okay, so he's got one chacham who's going to be giving this major shir to the east. Then there's another chacham giving this major shir to the west. So he's got to make an Erev. So what he wants to do is he says, okay, if I decide I want to go to the shir on Masechet Beitza, my Erev should be chal now, Erev Shabbos, to the east, where Masechet Beitza will be learned. If I want to go to the Parsha shir, then I'm going to make my Erev for the west. He puts down the two Erevs, and now he says, okay, whichever one I decide, that should be my Erev. Classic Brera about a din of Erev. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, in Adam Matnel Shnei Dvarim Ke'achad, you can't make a t'nai about where your Erev is going to be. All you can say is, Im b'chacham l'mizrach, Eruv l'mizrach, if he comes to the west, the Erev is in the west, and the Gemara is going to end up explaining that this means not what will be, because again, that's just a different way of saying the same problem of Brera, except it's a Brera about the Chacham, and not the Brera me, which here. So the Gemara will point out, this doesn't make any sense, but what it means is that the Chacham already came, except that I lost my cell phone, I could not find out whether he came to the east or he came to the west, but by the time Shabbos gets around, in the morning, everyone will know. So I'll ask the neighbor, right? Fine. So that's what it was talking about. That you can do, because that's a t'nai. That doesn't change anything retroactively. The Chacham already arrived, and my Erev was already chal. The fact that I didn't know where my Erev was chal is not called Brera. That is just called finding out. Okay, that you can do. But you cannot make a t'nai that you are going to decide where you want to go. So you will lakan v'lakan lo. You cannot decide which way you want to go, because we don't hold a Brera. Now, we asked over there, the Avina, but I don't understand. The way you set up the case, it's the same Brera. If you don't know where the Chacham will be coming, or you don't know where your mind will be going, that's the same thing, right? So what's the difference? Why can't you make an error of deciding where you want it to be? Because ain Brera. So then Mizrach u'Ma'ariv should be exactly the same. Ain Brera. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no. Obviously, the case about the Chacham means the Chacham already had come before Shabbos. It's just you didn't know where he came. Ukvar bro Chacham. So this is not a retroactive issue at all. It's just finding out something that already happened. So Alma, so if Rabbi Yochanan felt it necessary to make that distinction, then Rabbi Yochanan does not hold a Brera. So I don't understand why no matter where you go, you are in big trouble. You try to tell me Rav Hoshaya holds a Brera, I show you does not hold a Brera. Try to tell me Rabbi Yochanan holds a Brera, I just showed you from Erevin he does not hold a Brera, even in Rabbanan. So now what are you going to do? Okay, fine. All right, you know what? Forget about it. I'm not switching anything. Rav Hoshaya and Rabbi Yochanan, it was correct the way they said it originally. And basically, what we're left with was that problem that Rav Hoshaya said you can rely on Brera when it comes to the wine, but you cannot rely on Brera when it comes to the din of the mace and so of Tumalat Seit. So now, I'll use the answer that I tried to use for Rav Yochanan. I'll use it on Rav Hoshaya. Maybe the reason Rav Hoshaya doesn't hold a Brera by the din of Sof Tumalat Seit is because there it's a Diaraisa. But maybe Ein Achinami Benogea, the wine over there, it's a Derabbanan. So when it comes to Rabbanan and Tchumin, he does hold a Brera. Avo b'Rabbanan, Islay, Dorash Mar Zutra. That's exactly how we paskin, like Rav Hoshaya, that there is Brera in a Derabbanan, no Brera on a Diaraisa. Now it's not clear whether this applies to the wine only, or maybe it even applies to the din of the Basar. Like Rav said, that's dependent on why it was that Rav was Shasik. Does it apply also back to the meat? We don't care about the fact when it comes to even to Tchumim. We don't care about the fact that the brisket is actually partially London broil. And don't spread that around either, because the problems it might create in the butcher shops could be disastrous.